Hey guys, this is Day and Ari, and thanks for tuning in again to our little podcast. Let's see here. So we're going to do a quick intro right now before we head into the disclaimers.
By Dom. So that'll be really exciting. I love Dom.
Yeah. So in this session, we're going to talk about cybersecurity and big exits. So there seems to be a lot of those these days, and we talk about exits a lot in the startup world, but it means a significant financial event, basically.
Mm-hmm. Lots of big ones coming up. So we'll be talking about those. What else?
Try to keep it fun and lively and interactive here between me and you as we continue to explore the podcast space.
And evolve. All right, let's go.
Hi, y'all. This is Dom from CoinMe, or you might know me from The Blockchain Minute, your daily show for the most important story on the blockchain. None of the statements or opinions expressed in this podcast by the guest or its host is to be taken as financial advice or a solicitation of any kind to participate in a conservative or risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Security and Exchange Commission of the United States of America or independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge that the hosts, Ari and Day, and their guests are not financial advisors of any kind, but only humans and not sentient intergalactic alien life forms. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn or zombie or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of the space-time continuum of this known universe are purely ironic or coincidental thoughts and opinions. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion that may be found in this podcast are fully your responsibility and reaction that may or may not be intended for the listener in any way, shape, or form. Mature adult discretion is strongly advised. Thank you for listening.
All right, awesome. Thanks again, Dom, at CoinMe for doing the disclaimers. And I got some friends queued up to do some more readings for us. Yeah.
So
I think it's going to be fun. Let's see here. So again, just to do a quick intro of ourselves, because maybe some of you know who we are, but you know, as we get maybe a little bit more random participation, people won't know exactly who we are and our backgrounds. Why don't you start, Ari?
Hi, I'm Ari. I'm a 20-year veteran of technology, using people, processes, and systems to help companies evolve in the digital transformation age. Today, I'm the chair of the Cascadia Blockchain Council, representing WTIA member companies all the way up from Vancouver down to Portland. And we're here to bring awareness to both investors and innovators and policymakers in making Washington and the Cascadia region a hub for global blockchain.
Awesome. So for me, I've been working in the internet space since the mid-90s, which is
old.
Yeah. And so my expertise is primarily on internet protocols. And so protocols is a word that gets used a lot in the blockchain space because of the very, very close relevancy to the internet and the rules on which how blockchains operate. I've been working on the internet for in and around the internet for a really, really long time. And as I say that, shout out to Alex Mashinsky and his team at Celsius. I loved their product when I was able to use it. Unfortunately, they weren't able to continue operating in Washington, but he is one of the fathers of Voice over IP, and Voice over IP is one of the core technologies and services that has basically equalized the plane of communication
FaceTime,
in the world.
Skype, yes. Zoom, all of that stuff.
Anything that you can pretty much name that carries voice nowadays is either direct voice over IP or going to immediately be voice over IP on the internet at
and
some point.
Actually, Zoom too, right?
Oh yeah, Zoom is awesome. That's one of the... Oh, that's another one we can add to the list here to talk about big exits lately.
Yeah.
So I think the stock symbol is ZM. All right, so that's the introduction to ourselves, and so we're going to get into the main segment now about the two topics today: cybersecurity and big exits.
Yeah, so I actually presented this morning at the American Association of Political Consultants. I was actually introduced to them for the first time just because I'm speaking with them today. So got to hear a lot about their world. It was really, really interesting. And one of the topics that came up was actually around cybersecurity and data privacy and this world of targeting and all that stuff that happened with Facebook last year and this year. Facebook seems to be in the news a lot.
Yeah, we'll be reviewing that in a second because of the show that we did, based off of the big news that they had this week.
Yeah, but cybersecurity is a thing that we should all know about, actually more than just, what is cybersecurity. So I thought it would be really nice if we talked a little bit about different tips and tricks that we as individuals can do in our daily...
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Daily interactions with the internet and the web and everything that is data communications. So this is a little bit of an area where I tend to practice more conservative and extreme paranoia. Ari doesn't like that I called it paranoia for this segment, but I'm kind of...
Actually, it's healthy to be paranoid with this, because when you think about the bad guys, the guys that are actually doing the cyber bad crimes, they're really into it. There's whole marketplaces into stealing people's identities. It's just
credit
cards,
all kinds of personal information. There's identity theft and everything. So to jump into a few different areas here, like email, SMS-based two-factor authentication. If you don't know what two-factor authentication is, I strongly recommend that you turn on two-factor authentication, not using SMS.
Which means don't use your cell phone number as the two-factor authentication to say it's you, right?
Yeah. So, and you've had your phone SIM-swapped before spontaneously while you were sitting there looking at your phone before.
Oh my God, that was so scary. Like, was in New York City having dinner with some good friends, and then suddenly my phone says... please enter your password. You have no network. My phone's no longer working. It doesn't have service. And I am literally sitting outside having dinner. So it was really, really scary. So here's a tip and trick on that. Make sure you go to your phone provider, whether it's T-Mobile or AT&T or Verizon or whoever it is. Go in person to that telephone provider.
Into one of the retail stores.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tell them to look up your account when you speak to a salesperson. And tell them, one, do not allow any porting of my phone number unless I, one, show up in person.
Picture ID.
Yep. And also has my secret password, right? So tell them your secret password or passcode and make sure those three things must be present for your porting of the number to happen. Otherwise, bad guys can take your phone number. And then if you use that as your two-factor authentication, they can get into your bank accounts, your email accounts, your social media accounts.
The keys to the kingdom.
It's so scary. So make sure you do that. And I actually like to double check. So go at least twice. So you go to your T-Mobile store, for instance, in your downtown city area, and then go again to another location, another mall, just to be extra, extra sure.
Yeah. Never click on hyperlinks in email. This is kind of an old rule. After a lot of people got victimized by phishing attacks, phishing emails. But basically, if you get an email from some service provider of yours, financial, anything, and it asks you to click on a link, if you hover over the hyperlink, a lot of times it'll send you into basically oblivion. The hyperlink won't look like anything like it should. And none of your service providers should ever be asking you to re-input your personal information or your password. Never.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So, the very hard line approach you can take to that is never reply and never click on any hyperlinks that you get in emails.
Can we go back to the two-factor authentication?
Yeah. So there's apps.
Yes. Yeah. So instead of using your phone number or SMS, as you may see it, make sure the two-factor authentication goes to an application like Google Authenticator. Really highly recommend that. And then if you want to get even more paranoid, buy a burner phone. That means have a phone that you just don't care about. Is not, you know, the iPhone X10, whatever, like most expensive one. Buy it, get another phone, and have the Google Authenticator app on that device. So, and then lock it up somewhere, like hide it in a hole somewhere in your backyard and just hide it.
Yeah. Passwords on all your devices, passcodes on all your devices. Apple's nice because you can do, find your iPhone, find the phones, and then do remote wipes. They've made that more of a standard feature. And then this next idea is something that I've practiced personally, and so it needs a little bit polishing probably, and people need to maybe think about it and practice it with discretion. But I have a personal algorithm that I use to generate passwords. So I have a unique password
right
for everything. I'm not going to give away my algorithm.
Okay.
And you should never again. No one should ever, 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 ever ask you for your password to anything. If they do, that is a failure in security protocols, like information technology security protocols, and you should tell people. I've had to tell IT departments before, hey, you're not supposed to ask me for my password. And then after I tell them that, they say, oh, okay, that's fine, I'll just go in through the back door. You know, so
okay, awesome.
So anyway, never ever give away your passwords. And so the trick that I have to create a brand new password for everything is you use an algorithm, something you can remember. And the one that I'll suggest here is if you like to eat desserts, for example.
Ooh.
So the last dessert that you ate, create a very complex but in your own mind twisted password based on the last dessert that you had. So if it was ice cream, you could do 1C capital E, and then CR3A capital M, something like that.
That symbol, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You had the symbols on there too. So a lot of places were going to ask you for a strong password, and this is a way to for you to remember. Oh, what was that last dessert I had? Oh yeah, okay. And then do that. And so there's different ways that you do activities on a day-to-day basis. That you can recall, and you don't have to write it down, and you don't have to, do anything. Yeah, please never ever write down passwords.
Oops.
Is also like the worst thing ever.
Ooh, can I do one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then, sometimes the two-factor authentication or the login into your different accounts is an email address very often. Another tip and trick is to actually set up different email addresses. So for like your super, super, super high priority stuff like your banking accounts, have it linked to an email that no one knows at all. Like doesn't even have your name or anything related to you in it. Don't share it at all. And that's for your super, super, high priority items. Things like your social media is probably a high priority item too. You know, I might make another email address for that. For more, like you're signing up for, what is it? Those advertising and marketing, you might have like airy.spam@gmail.com would be my email address for that. So
yeah.
Have multiple kinds of email addresses with different password levels.
All this is really hard, and it demonstrates how much of an active participant you have to be in the online security that you have for yourself. If you use the same password everywhere, probably not a great idea. Yeah.
Don't put your real information online. So like Facebook, for instance, I know it's really great when people say happy birthday to you on your birthday.
That's terrible.
But yeah, I would not put your real birthday on in your social media. So use fake birthdays, fake anniversaries, maybe a couple days off, a couple years off. You might even take advantage of that and say like you're 5 years younger than you really are.
Speaking of Facebook, just a really quick side commentary. That was the place where you were supposed to be safe. That was the place where it was only your friends and family, the few select people that you were willing to share private photos and memories
in
and
2008.
Emotional write-ups and venting and everything. And Twitter was the alternative social media place where people would just savagely tear each other apart openly.
In 2015.
And I've completely flipped. After the 2016 election, I abandoned Facebook. And at least I know that in the world of Twitter, my information, all my tweets are being, you know, sold. And I know that anyone can read it. And I know that I can be criticized and ripped apart at any moment in time. And that's just the table stakes of being in a open platform of social media in this day and age. But the thing is, somewhere along the line, Facebook got to be a not safe place. Whether it was the selling or leaking or giving away of all the information to Cambridge Analytica and all that, it's just not cool. And so,
yeah, their policies are very reactive too.
Yeah. And, you know, for all the good that Facebook, and then maybe that's a way that we can we'll mention the whole Libra thing a little bit for a second. Actually, no, we can wait on that. Okay. But just to finish out the topic of cybersecurity.
Ooh, can I do one more? I have so many. I've been hacked so many times now. I have so many. So if you ever want some more tips and tricks, maybe I'll do a blog post on this. Oh, so if you're in an airport or public Wi-Fi, or you're at a conference, right? Yeah. So you're like, I want to go and learn more about Bitcoin. I'm going to go to this Bitcoin conference. Never, ever, ever, ever connect to the conference Wi-Fi. That's where the bad guys will go and figure out who's connected to the conference Wi-Fi and then attack your computer. Yeah. So
you think you're logging into the conference hotspot, but then you're logging into, you know, the guy next to you, a hotspot, who's named his hotspot the same thing, and then basically ripping off everything that you're typing.
So use your own personal hotspot. I think T-Mobile actually offers this for free. I learned so much about T-Mobile recently too, so I might.
Yeah, the data plans are now so commodity with data utilizations still very high, but the caps on them are either unlimited or very, very high, so it's virtually unlimited, and highly recommend using your own hotspot
as much as humanly possible.
Yes.
Okay, we can move on now.
That's a really good one.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you, Ari. let's see here. And I'm sure that we'll probably revisit this topic as we think about more ways to be more secure online. Back in the day, again, I started way back in the day. I would literally unplug my computers away from my high-speed DSL connections because I said, well, I don't really feel like buying a firewall. What I'll do is I'll create an air gap between the internet and my computer. And I would know for certain I could sleep well. I could leave my computer alone knowing that there will be absolutely no way of any sort of electronic intrusion into the personal information on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would go to those measures, and I think that people who have been involved in the internet for a really long time tend to be a little bit more paranoid about
what's going
on.
Offline is the most safe and secure.
Yeah, exactly.
Airplane mode all the way.
Airplane mode, yeah, exactly.
And even then, I like to turn off my phone, too, if I really want to be super safe.
Yeah, it's, you know, Mr. Robot. We started watching a little bit of that, and then, you know, that makes you really think about all kinds of crazy stuff that, you know, it's like the Twilight Zone for the old people out there like me. It's like the Twilight Zone with an internet bent to it. Yeah. Internet bend. Okay.
Let's
so are you good on cybersecurity? Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. So the other topic was big exits. And so in the startup space, exits are, what are they, Ari? Oh, you're eating some food. So they are when a company has, in technical terms, a big liquidation event. So this is when all the investors that have been putting in money for the years that the company has been in existence and growing very quickly. Employees with stock options, yes. Anybody and everybody. There's going to be certain lockup periods for different people. I think that's called liquidation preferences. Venture Deals. Side note, Venture Deals is an awesome, awesome book that every startup person must read twice, three times. And so this is the time when either an exit would be going an IPO, would be a massive company gobbling up another company. So Microsoft in our backyard has been known to buy companies for billions of dollars, which is definitely an exit. Yes. There's acqui-hires. There's just all kinds of different flavors of these liquidation events. And a new one that's popped up on the radar is...
Dun, dun, dun. Slack.
Yeah. So Slack is awesome. It's one of the more innovative early on team collaboration, like remote,
Stuart
worker.
Butterfield.
Stuart. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I've found it to be pretty awesome. Oh, side note, like when all the ICOs were going on, they all tried to use Slack for a little while, but it didn't work out.
Because Slack is actually for internal collaboration.
It's for private, secure, yeah.
But it's not for open networks, where ICO stands for initial coin offering, where anybody and everybody in the entire world can access your online forum. It was not built for that. So, you know, I think during the ICO craze, people moved to Telegram, then they moved to Discord, and yada, yada, yada. It's a...
They all wound up kind of sucking.
Well, it
not
really
to sound negative.
No. It really depended on the community manager and how actively the founders were engaged with their communities. So it really doesn't matter what channel. If you're engaged, you can make it work and actually make it a good experience for your communities. But let's go back to Slack.
Yeah.
They're doing a direct listing. And yes, so another side note.
Yes.
There actually have been quite a few companies that do direct listings, usually through the Toronto Exchange. So that's the one, or Australian Exchange. That's the one that a lot of companies will do their air quote IPO through. Sorry, phone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway, Slack is doing
a
direct listing.
It's not an IPO. This is something that I'm learning about as well in the last few weeks when I've been hearing about the direct listing by Slack. So the deal is, anybody who is holding shares of Slack internally now through this direct listing is able to sell. So
Woo-hoo!
You have, yes, which is great for them because they've been working really hard or have been invested for a really long time and not had access to their original capital.
But it allows people on the outside to become a part
exactly.
of the team now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we can put our dollars, Ari and I can put our dollars where our mouths are.
Maybe we'll watch.
And literally put money into Slack. And
I like Slack.
So what you're hoping for is that through there was one of the big banks that recommended something like $26. It opened today, I believe, around 40-something, 46-something. So it's obviously a success. That means there's more demand than supply. And so I'm going to be watching this really closely to see when there might be an entrance point for, you know, Joe Blow investor like me and Ari to be able to soak up the supply that's being put out by investors and employees and all those people who have
shares.
And
when was their direct listing? That was on like yesterday, Wednesday?
No, it was today.
Oh, it was today.
Yeah. So
today?
So recording
today's Thursday.
This around 1 p.m. Now it's 1:30. I think Ari's late for something around.
I gotta go.
Thursday, June 20th, 1:30 p.m. And so it is, so it's exciting. It's an exciting time. And
some other exits that have been notable, we've mentioned before, BYND, my favorite right now, Beyond Meat, they're doing really well. Also, we've mentioned Fiverr before, right? They also just had their IPO. Some other big notable ones, what were they?
They're a bit of old news, but Uber, Lyft.
Oh, yeah, big one.
You just mentioned this a second ago as a good reminder, Zoom.
Oh, yeah, Zoom.
The video conferencing, which is an awesome, awesome, very well-engineered platform. Highly recommend using that. Also, as a side note, we are not paid in any way whatsoever. No financial advice.
Disclosure, disclaimer.
We're not being paid in any way whatsoever. This is just us sharing and opining and talking about, you know, some cool news events in and around money and, you know, how it all works together.
All right. So then I think that's it for the day, right?
Well, we were going to review really quick the stuff from Monday, Tuesday, like the Libra stuff. I mean, there's been a massive amount of backlash. The one point that I'll make on that is there was one legislator who called on Facebook to halt all development completely, totally on Libra. That much backlash I was not liking. I mean, it's another thing for a private a company to have a service that they want to roll out, but then to say that, you know, halt all activity and development to come and, you know, testify before us, I think that's a little bit overreaching.
Well, I
get the backlash. I mean, I'm not liking the project.
I was listening to the radio, and I don't know if that's actually what he said. So, you know, the quote might have... Oh, she?
Yeah,
oh, I was listening to a he this morning. He was also talking about wanting that, but he wanted actually more from an education standpoint. So, hey, you know, And I really think technology companies, especially if you're in the trifecta of emerging technologies, right? That's a, you know, blockchain, that's a AR, VR, any of the virtual reality stuff, machine learning, AI, data, any of that stuff. We need to partner more proactively with politicians and policymakers so that they're technology aware and informed as they're helping create the right kinds of regulations for these emerging and innovative industries. We don't want to squash it, right? We want to still be one of the world's leaders in the U.S. at least in terms of innovation and technology, but we also want to do it in a smart way as we're thinking about tomorrow and creating a better future.
Yeah, it's the whole top-down approach instead of bottoms up, thinking of the product and service and then just growing it massively. It's the top-down.
No, this is sandwich. This is sandwich. So it's in partnership, right? So it's these startups and technologies, all the innovators coming together proactively, reaching out a hand. And it's also the government, policymakers reaching out into the middle, and we're meeting together. So it's sandwich, bottoms up and top-down. Delicious sandwich. That's the future, honey.
Fancy sandwiches.
Yum, yum, yum. Oh,
we
fancy
have a
sandwiches.
Friend who has the Twitter handle Fancy Sandwiches. He's rather comical and blunt. So let's see here. Okay, so we're going to just go ahead and wrap up here. Couple of other notes that I wrote down. You know, I reached out to a whole bunch of people to be guests on our podcast. And so eventually, as Ari and I get our, you know, full online chemistry going, we do want to have guests come on. And then a fun way to have guests, I think, or we both think, is to give away peanut brittle. So we figured out a way to, why don't you talk about it, Ari?
We have a really good recipe for peanut brittle, and we've realized why it's really hard to actually scale peanut brittle. Why aren't there like so many companies doing peanut brittle?
It's expensive when you buy it too.
Yeah. So whenever I traveled, I would always stop by in the airport and buy a box of peanut brittle because, you know, he loves it. So it was a really great gift, and I would spend about $24 to $30 each time doing it. And then I started, this is getting expensive. So I started making it. And then you start realizing, this is not that expensive, actually. At least the
mostly
materials
sugar
and time. Yes, but it's the packaging and cutting of the peanut brittle that's actually really
hard
to time. Yeah. Honey, we have to wrap up really quickly here.
Okay, you have to go. Okay, so final mention that I'll do before Ari wraps is Lolly. Try Lolly on Twitter. I think they're awesome because
at Matt Center.
I think they're, again, no paid sponsorship share. It's just us just trying to share some stuff out there. But this is a way to stack sats for all you folks out there.
Get free Bitcoin.
For all you folks out there who would rather do some other activity and get Bitcoin, small fractions of Bitcoin, in return for shopping where you already shop.
Yeah.
This is a great way to go.
And I think they're doing a promotion right now where, like, if Bitcoin hits $10,000, and I think it's about to very soon because we just had an all-time high today of, you know, $9,400 per one Bitcoin, they're going to give away $10 of Bitcoin for signing up as a new user on Try Lolly. So Try Lolly, you're already shopping on Amazon and a whole bunch of different brands and sites. They give you free Bitcoin. You don't even have to put in your own dollars. I think it's a great, great application.
Yeah. A lot of those sites where you can get the benefit of Satoshis or Bitcoin, I think is awesome. And I forgot to do the intro where we talk about the price of Bitcoin. Coinbase, $9,559 per Bitcoin. Again, when it gets over 10K, it's going to be looking really, really expensive. And so to do the math on that, if you divide the number 1, representing 1 cent, by 0.009559, then you're going to get about 100 and, I don't know, I think it was 108 sats or something like that. So it's sats are getting more expensive per cent. Than in previous days. So I got to remember to do the price of Bitcoin thing at the beginning. All right. Anyway.
Well, thank you for listening. We really appreciate ratings and comments and any sharing of Windshield Time. We're really excited to be with you every day and thinking about you.
Twice a week.
virtually via Windshield Time. Just make sure you share what you learn, give us any feedback, and together we rise. So thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Be nice to each other out there. Bye.
This here's Dewey Newcomb from ABC Rentals, and I'm from Alabama. And none of the statements here or the opinions expressed on this here podcast by the guests or its hosts are to be taken as financial or legal or even psychological or dietary advice or a solicitation of any kind, all right? To participate in a conservative or even a risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Securities and Exchange Commission, you know, the SEC, and I ain't talking college football. Roll Tide. Independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. I don't even know what that means, but whatever. By listening, you acknowledge that the hosts, Arian Day, and their guests are not financial advisors. No. Matter of fact, they're not even legal scholars of any kind. They're just humans. They're not even sentient intergalactic alien life forms. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn or zombie or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of this space-time continuum of the known universe are purely ironic and coincidental, and that's just freaky weird. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion found in this here podcast are fully your all responsibility, all right? And your own reaction, so you gotta deal with that on your own. Mature adult discretion is strongly advised, y'all. Thank you for listening.
All right, here we go.
First test recording, maybe for the podcast. What are you doing?
Uh-oh.
Can you say something?
Check on that. Check
on that. What happened? Did you bust your head? Owie? It's probably better if you don't play on that.
Yeah, that's not for a big person. It's for a...
It's not for a big boy.
It's for a little baby.
Come here. Did you bust your head?
No.
You okay? Okay, just leave Mary. All right, that was the first recording.